We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we are Tuesday already. The week's flying by, huh? 6:45. It's going to be hot today with highs near 90, 40% chance for showers, which is pretty summertime, I guess, early June. Anyway, highs of 80 tomorrow with a 40% chance for showers. And then they're teasing us. They are tantalizing us with talk of a cold front coming in on Thursday morning, actually Wednesday evening. Highs Thursday, only 74. And then Friday, 78. And then the weekend comes here and we're back into the mid-80s. But at least we're getting a cool front every now and then. So that's an improvement. President Trump decided, of course, to end the U.S. involvement as it relates to Syria. Some of the things the president said are that other presidents would not be doing that. They'd be spending a lot more money, but on things that wouldn't make you happy. And then he also added that he got a lot of heat from the military-industrial complex. He said, don't forget they're fighting for their land. They haven't helped us fighting for our land. Let them have their borders, but I don't think our soldiers should be there for the next 15 years guarding a border between Turkey and Syria when we can't guard our own borders. And then he said, we just spent billions in Iraq, and it was the single worst mistake we've ever made. And then he said, we defeated ISIS. We did our job. Now we have to go home. And this part kind of caught my attention. He said, you wouldn't believe how the military-industrial complex came down on me. Jim Carafano joins us, Vice President of the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time. Before we go any farther, explain to people what the military-industrial complex is, and is it a real thing?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we have industries that serve the military. When Eisenhower made that speech when he was getting ready to retire, it was a retirement speech from the presidency. He was concerned about this, that we were spending so much on the military to fight the Cold War that combination between the massive money we were spending and the influence in Congress might overly influence the decisions that the government is making. When he made that speech, defense spending was 50% of the federal budget, and it was about 8 or 9% of GDP. And of the top 50 companies in the country, many of them were defense companies. Today, defense spending is less than 3% of GDP. It's less than 20% of the defense budget, and the only company that I think I haven't looked lately that may be in the top 50 is Boeing. But not because it's a defense company; it's because it is a airplane company. So the notion that there's a massive influence in our government because of defense spending, and that's just not true anymore. There are many things that have way more influence and power over government than that. So it's a bit anachronistic to say that the president's gotten criticism. It's actually criticism from a broad quarter of people, some of it highly partisan and just going after the president, some from, you know, people who are generally more aggressive in their foreign policy. Not that I agree with them or the president agrees with them, but that's what they genuinely feel. Anybody's going to make money out of this.
Yeah, I don't want to delve too far into the weeds there, but the president didn't say it. So what is the condition right now at the border? What has changed since the United States troops pulled back, and are they, as I saw in a news story last night, kind of stuck between getting out and the Russians and Assad and everything else?
we should be clear, the president never greenlighted the Turkish incursion. As a matter of fact, the United States did everything possible to tell the Turks not to do this. We warned them not to do this. We even convinced the YPG to take down defenses at the border so they'd be less threatening to the Turks. So the president didn't greenlight this operation. If you think about it, in order to do this, you need tens of thousands of troops and months of preparation. So it's not like Erdogan had a phone call with the president, and Erdogan the next day said, okay, let's just go invade. So clearly this is a Turkish initiative. It's not our idea. We are kind of caught between a rock and a hard spot there. It's ridiculous to think that the U.S. forces are going to get between the YPG and the Turks fighting over this land. That just makes no sense. Having said that, it's also, I think, our policy is evolving because it's a rapidly changing situation. It's not at all clear the United States forces are completely leaving Syria. And it's definitely clear that we're going to continue to do counterterrorism operations and cooperate with people who are fighting ISIS in the region. That hasn't changed at all. So actually, U.S. policy hasn't really changed. It's really Turkish policy that's changed.
All right, we can take a break. We come back. It seems to me the president is right. And I don't care if you're talking about Afghanistan, about Iraq, Syria. The same thing is going to happen whether you leave today or if you leave 10 years from now in terms of the country's going back to what they were before. Maybe I'm wrong. You can address that when we come back. 6:50, 10 till 7, Tommy Tucker talking about Syria and the president's actions and what that could mean. And somehow it could affect our 401k, which a lot of us are very interested in. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:55, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jim Carafano, Vice President of the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, before we went to the break, I asked you, as it relates to Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, is it now, or if we do it in 5 years, pulling out, it's going to be the same exact thing, the same result?
Yeah, so I think it's useful to talk about all those things separately because the conditions in each country are different. Okay. In Syria, I think the president's instincts are exactly right. Look, we're not going to solve the Syrian civil war, and frankly, that's not why they're there. Syria is not a vital interest to the United States. It never has been. We went there for three very particular reasons. One, because of the caliphate, right? The caliphate is a threat to everybody. It's a threat to regional stability, a threat to us. Defeating the caliphate was important. As we defeated the caliphate, two other things emerged, which were also important. One is masses of refugees. We don't want to see masses of refugees. That's destabilizing to the region. They pour into Western Europe. It's destabilizing to our allies in Europe. And the third thing is we don't want that vacuum filled by Iran essentially moving in and using Syria as a platform to threaten Israel, which is our closest ally in the region. So as we reduce our footprint and move out, we want to make sure those three interests are looked after. So the president's right to say we shouldn't have a permanent footprint in Syria. It makes no sense for us. But on the other hand, as we withdraw that footprint, we have to be continually conscious of how do we make sure our limited interests in Syria are still protected. So instead, what we have is this kind of Manichaean debate between, you know, we need to get out, you know, or, you know, we need to stay forever. Neither of those make a whole lot of sense. You know, I was in the Army for 25 years. What you learn is military operations are dictated by the conditions on the ground, not by a calendar and a stopwatch. And so I think the president is right to press to say, let's just not be happy with the status quo, sitting here forever and spending money, you know, doing something that's not achievable. Let's make sure that we're just doing what makes sense and what's efficacious.
Jim, let me jump in. We only have a minute or two left, and I want to stick with Syria, not the other countries. So what did we accomplish in Syria while we were there?
Well, we absolutely crushed the caliphate, which would not have happened unless we actually put our troops on the ground working with people on the scene. I think that's very clear. And I think the president should get enormous credit for that. We have limited Iranian influence. I think Israel is much more secure because of that. And when was the last time we had a massive refugee exodus? That was 2015, or 2016, or 2017. So the president's been very effective at that. So he has accomplished the goals that we set to. We're there. But the next question is okay. How do we make sure that those victories are sustainable over time?
So how would we do that? And also, and we're just about out of time, Jim, you're going to have to come back on. Let me jump ahead to the ISIS prisoners. Are they being dispersed? Are they still in prison? What's the situation on that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of wild reporting we don't know. Nobody really has an interest in seeing ISIS come back. The Turks don't, YPG doesn't, nobody does. So I don't see that as a credible threat that the caliphate's going to pop back up again.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Hope you do come back. All right, he will, I'm sure. Jim Carafano, Vice President, Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. When we come back, we'll talk to a local political analyst, Ed Shervinak, about who has the edge in the runoff to be Louisiana's next governor.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.